On Good Friday, we spoke about four things that the blood of Jesus Christ brought. Today, I'm going to talk to you for a little while about seven things. Actually, I've got said there's more, but I'm only going to speak about seven things very briefly that the resurrection brings. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so, so important. And without it, we wouldn't be here today. You know, there's no point us gathering here if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. And so, without any further ado, I'm just going to get into it. I'm going to give you some scriptures so that you can look them up when you go home. I am recording today, so I'll put it on our website at some point. I'm a bit behind right now. But the first thing that the resurrection brings is a victory over death. Isn't that good? Victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 55, it says, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." You see, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, bringing triumph over the death, and this verse is also telling us because he triumphed over death, we will also triumph over death. Okay? Verse 55 says this of 1 Corinthians 15. "O death, where is your sting? And O Hades, where is your victory?" And of course the answer is nowhere to be seen. Because death and Hades is not triumphant anymore. But Jesus Christ is. And he's given us a victory as well. Romans 6 and verse 9, the closing part of that verse says this: "Death no longer has dominion over him." Wow, that's good news. Death no longer has dominion over him. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, I repeat, because Jesus went to the cross, died, and then on the third day rose again, triumphing over death, he has enabled us to also have victory over death. Okay? "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The second thing the resurrection brings is proof of Jesus' identity. He was who he said he was. He is who he said he is. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." And the good news is that, and that message still goes out today. You know, no matter who we are, what our background, what we're going through, and whatever it is that we're facing, we can also have hope in Jesus Christ if we believe in him and give our hearts and ourselves to him. And that brings me on to point number three. The resurrection brings hope. Come on, everybody say hope. Hope. It brings hope. Yeah. What is hope? Hope is expected end. But listen to what the scripture says. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So we have hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have an expected end, and it's a good one, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Wow. Romans 10 and verse 9. "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him up from the dead, you will be saved." And that's very good news. And that's very good news that's extended once again toward us today. It's whosoever will. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus did not come and to die for Christians. He came and to die for the world, everyone, so that everyone can have a hope, so that everyone can have a future, so that everyone can have someone and something to look forward to. And that's very good news for me. That word saved in that verse is the Greek word sozo, which means temporal and spiritual deliverance. That word means to be delivered. It means to be perfected. It means to preserve. It means to make well. It means to heal. It means to save from danger, loss, and destruction. So that's quite a broad meaning of that word. And so his resurrection came so that we will be saved again from death, from destruction, and from danger, and from loss. Temporal as well as spiritual deliverance. Now, I'm going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm not going to read some verses. I'm going to read actually from verse 18. But what I want to actually drop in your hearts this morning is found in verse 21. Verse 18 says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world." Did you hear that? Before the foundation of the world, Jesus, and we said this on Friday, Jesus was foreordained to die. Okay? Because God knew everything that was going to happen. Nothing surprises God. But the verse continues, "but was manifest in these last times for you." And now verse 21, through him believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave glory so that your faith and hope are in God. So let me repeat that little last verse, that little part that I want to get into your spirit this morning. Listen, it says, so that your faith and hope are in God. God raised him from the dead so that your faith and hope are in God. If Jesus had not raised from the dead, we would have no hope. We would need no faith because there would be no triumph, because there would be nothing that we could look forward to. And we said on Friday that God's law is that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. Hebrews 9:23, I think. And so blood had to be shed. And blood was shed for animals for a part of the time. But afterwards, when the fullness of time came, Jesus Christ died on the cross, replacing the emblems and the symbols and what was in place with the sacrifice of animals, because the sacrifice of animals could not take away sins. It only covered it for a period of time. But when Jesus Christ came and died, his blood that was shed on Calvary's cross is powerful enough to remove sins. Can I get an amen this morning? Because it's a powerful statement. That means whatever you have done, whatever your past is, when God says, "I'm removing it," guess what? It's removed and removed forever. So when you're bringing it up, God is saying, "Well, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about." Because the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our sins from us. Now, the enemy wants to bring back your past and make you feel guilty about certain things. But I'm telling you, once you receive the fact and the truth that you are forgiven for your sins, then God remembers it no more. And that's good news. All right. So, number four. So, that's hope. It brings hope. The resurrection brings hope. What else does the resurrection bring? It brings healing. And I'm only going to give you one verse. I don't want to take too much time this morning. Healing. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you." And there's so many other scriptures that talk about the fact that Jesus Christ's blood that was shed on Calvary's cross brings healing. We dealt with some of this on Friday, so I'm not going to go over it again. But the resurrection brings healing. Why is that? Because healing is part of the salvation package that we now have given to us by God, from God, so that we can have hope, and again, so that we can have a future. Healing is ours. Healing is made available because Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And that's very, very good news. So let's recap. Number one, the resurrection brings, help me now. The resurrection brings victory over death. Number two, the proof of Jesus' identity. All right? Number three, hope. Yeah. Number four, healing. And number five, our justification. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is important, brings our justification. Again, sorry I keep saying this. On Friday, in our Good Friday service, I spoke a little bit about justification. The blood of Jesus Christ justifies us. But we'll see from Scripture that the resurrection of Jesus Christ also justifies us. We said on Friday that justification means a positioning. It means correct alignment. You once were out of shape, you're out of line, you're out of position. But the resurrection has given us a correct positioning now with God. Man lost that positioning when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. And God, man could no longer have fellowship with God. That fellowship was broken. There was a gulf between God and man. Okay, but that gulf is now completely covered. And Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross and his resurrection has given us the position that we have now of justification, where we're once again correctly aligned with God. Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the ESV version says, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So he was delivered, but then he was raised from the dead, this verse says, for our justification. For our correct alignment, for our positioning with God, for fellowship once again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. Again, the ESV says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. What is that talking about? Correct positioning, correct alignment. Bringing us into the presence of Jesus. And you know, that's what God wants. He wants fellowship with his people. That's what he wanted from the very beginning. Fellowship. And as we said, the fellowship was broken, but God sent his son in the fullness of time to die on the cross and to rise again so that we can be justified, so that we can be correctly aligned, correctly positioned for fellowship with God once again and have a hope and a future. And that's wonderful, 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 wonderful news. Number six. The resurrection is important to know so our faith would be valid. The resurrection was necessary so that our faith would be valid. Now Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says, to every man is given the measure of faith. Okay? Every man, every person is given the measure or a measure of faith, depending on what version you're reading. Right? And we need faith to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. We also need faith to do what God wants us to do and also to become and be who God wants us to be. Without faith, we can't please Him. Without faith, we cannot do anything that God wants us to do. And that's why the Bible says that to every person is given the measure of faith. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. So we see clearly that the resurrection of Jesus Christ enables us to justifiably use our faith to please God and to align ourselves with him, and to do what he wants. As a matter of fact, this I haven't got it written down here, but there's a verse that really what it's saying is that anything done outside of faith is sin. Anything done outside of faith is sin. And that's why we need faith. And that's why we're given faith. And that's why we need to recognize what we have and we need to use it. So praise God, the resurrection means that the faith that we have is now valid. Number 7, the last point I'm bringing today. Old Testament prophecies would be fulfilled. The resurrection means that Old Testament prophets, people who have spoken in the past about a coming Savior, spoken in the past about Jesus Christ coming and shedding his cross, his blood on the cross, that would now be valid. That would now be fulfilled. So it was necessary for him to rise again from the dead. If he didn't rise from the dead, then everything or most things, everything that we've done, not most things, everything we do would be vain. Would be vain. It could not be fulfilled. If you're writing down, let me just kick these out for the recording as well. Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 12. Psalm 16, verse 10. These are some verses in the Bible that I've not got time now to read out. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13. And I'm going to read, I wrote out Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So that's just one of the Old Testament prophecies, if you like, that was fulfilled because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Let me give you another one. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And we all know that on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode right into the town with on a colt, on a donkey, with people spreading their clothes and spreading palms as the donkey rode with Jesus on it. So this was spoken of in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and that was fulfilled. So we see quite a few things here. Let me give you one more. Psalm 22 and verse 18. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Another Old Testament prophet in the book of Psalm that was talking about, you know, we all know when Jesus was crucified, what happened? That they did cast lots for his clothing. And that they did divide his garments. So in conclusion, let me say this. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. It says this, and his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has made available to not just these 7 things that I've mentioned, but a lot more. And the Bible here says everything that pertains to life and godliness. Because Jesus rose again from the dead, we can have hope for the future, hope for the things that we're going through even in life, that we're not alone, but God is with us, that God will help us, that God will lead us and make a way out of no way. Have I got a witness here this morning? The word glory in that verse. Let me read the verse again. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. The word glory means honor, honor due or honor rendered. The word virtue there, it means good quality. So God has called us, if you like, and has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Knowledge is important. Information. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and by virtue. Virtue, good quality, and excellence of any kind. Now, I'm going to close now. And I'm going to close by quoting Matthew. Part of Matthew 5 and verse 48. Because we've spoken about what God has done, sending his son Jesus Christ, raising him from the dead. We spoke about what Jesus did. But we need to really look at what we need to do, because we need to believe what we are reading from God's word. We need to believe that A, there is a God who exists, B, that he is with us and he loves us, C, that he will do what he said he would do, and he will never let us down. We need to understand that God, one day, and we've been hearing this from some of us for a long time, one day he's coming again. And whether people believe it or don't believe it, Jesus Christ is coming again. We just spoke about Old Testament prophecies fulfilled through the resurrection, but I'm telling you that there are also prophecies speaking of his second coming that is going to be fulfilled. Do you know there's no prophetic word that has been given by God through man that has not been fulfilled apart from what is to come? Everything that was to be fulfilled, has come to pass. And I'm saying that God isn't finished yet. And there is coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to return and is going to take those who have given their hearts to him. And Matthew 5 and verse 48 says, "Be ye perfect, for I am perfect." That word perfect doesn't mean sinless, faultless. It's not talking about you moving in a physical way to be the best, a goody, Mr. Good and Mrs. Goody Two Shoes, never making a mistake. That's not what the Bible is talking about. That word perfect is the Greek word teleios. And this is what it means. It means to bring to an end. So when it's saying, "Be ye perfect, for I am perfect," what it's saying is, hey, bring everything to its end. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you say, you know what, I need to bring this part of my life to an end. And I need to experience newness. And God wants you to be perfect. But it also means, not just that, but it also means this. It means to bring to full purpose. It means to complete. It means to bring to maturity. It means to achieve the goal established. It means to be fully whole. And you can only be fully whole if you know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior and is active in your life. And today, the Bible says, the Bible says, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the days of rebellion. And I'm here to tell you, after being a Christian, I've been a Christian for 40-odd years, longer than some people have been alive. And I've seen a lot, and I've experienced a lot. And being a Christian doesn't mean you don't get things wrong. Being a Christian doesn't mean everything happens perfect. You're walking on cloud nine. No. If that was the case, we wouldn't need faith. If that was the case, we wouldn't need the Word. We wouldn't need each other. We wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't need God working in our lives if that was the case. But through the challenges, the songwriter said, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus and I've put my trust in God. I'm telling you, after doing this for 40-odd years, that's the best decision I've ever, ever made in my whole life. Thank God for my wife, who I love dearly, and my children, and my family. But the best decision that I have ever made is letting the Lord Jesus Christ come into my heart and into my life. The changes that I've experienced, I can't even begin to utter and explain. Only those of us who know him personally will know what I'm talking about. So bow your heads and close your eyes for me, please. Because I want to close by giving out a gentle challenge today. Listen, one of the deceptions of life is that people sometimes assume things will just keep going on. Okay, I'll come and I'll go through the motions. All right, this year, I've heard people say, you know what, I give my heart to the Lord next year. I give my heart to the Lord, when I'm a little bit older. I'm not ready to do that yet. But folks, listen to me carefully. Number one, you don't know how long you're going to live. I've lived long enough to see I've buried young kids as well as people older than myself. And number two, you don't know when Jesus Christ is coming. Let's not assume that he's not coming, because he is. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. So we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. And I just wonder this morning, is there anyone who say, Pastor David, it's time for me to make a change in my life? Because I recognize that there's something on the inside. I may even feel uneasy. I don't know why. There's a little challenge in my heart, inside me. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, hey, it's time for a change. Many of us here have done that. And the Lord may be saying to you right now, hey, I want to come into your life. I want you to make that change. And if you're here and you're that person, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, just slip your hand up. I'd like to pray with you before I close this meeting today. If you'd like to give your heart to the Lord this morning, just slip your hand up and then slip it right back down so that I can see you. Taylor just raised her hand. Is there anyone else who's there to say, yeah, you know what? I'd like to let the Lord into my life today. I'd like to make a change. I recognize that I do not hold, it may seem like it, but I don't hold my life in my own hands. I'd like to place my life in the Lord Jesus' hands. Last call. Is there anybody else? Just slip your hand up. I'd like to pray with you before I close this meeting. All right, Taylor, come forward, baby. Can we give her a hand as she comes forward?
Taylor's just come forward because she's going through some things at school. So she wants a prayer for that. Yeah? So can I ask you to stand on your feet, please, and just stretch your right hand towards Taylor. We're going to pray for her. That God will strengthen her and that God will bless her. You see, you haven't come forward to me, you've come forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And He's the one who's going to help you. Stretch your right hands toward her for me, please. Father, we thank You for Your daughter. We thank You for this precious young girl who has just responded, Lord God, according to what You're speaking into her heart, Lord. And Father, Your word says that You are touched, oh God, with the feelings of our infirmities. That there is nothing that we are going through that You are not concerned about and that You do not know about, Lord. And so I lift her up today and I pray that You, first of all, strengthen her, Lord, in her mind, in her being, in her total being, Father, so that whatever she's going through at school, Lord God, that her heart and her mind will always be stayed upon You. Your word says You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon You. And so, Father, we thank You for that today. And we pray that You'll be with Taylor. Lord, whatever the problems, whatever the source of the problems, Lord God, we pray, oh God, that You'll remove it, that You'll stop it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, she is Your daughter, Lord. And, Father, we thank You because You said, suffer little children to come to Me. And so as Taylor has come to You, Lord God, we thank You in advance because we know that You will act on her favor, Lord God, and that You will bless her and that You will keep her and that, Lord God, Your arms will be around her at school and everywhere else where she's at. So, Lord, we want to thank You today for hearing our prayer. We want to thank You today for strengthening Taylor on the inside, Lord God, and that, Father, her mind will be at peace in the name of the Lord God Almighty. We pray that You surround her with Your love, Your glory. We give You all the praise, Father, and we give You all the thanks today for what You are doing in Jesus' precious name. And everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Can we give her a hand as she goes back to her seat? Encourage her.
All right, God bless you. I'm finished. So, Pastor Joy, I'm handing over to you.